Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
A playwright's final act. I'm Rebecca Lieb.
I'm Jason Horton.
And this is Ghost Town.
People are put away in mausoleums above the ground, which is a rather grisly idea. Personally, I intend to be buried at sea.
The works of Tennessee Williams are iconic. From page to screen, titles like A Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, A Streetcar Named Desire, and The Glass Menagerie are staples in modern literature and the silver screen. Tennessee Williams was celebrated, but his personal life in his later years were anything but. We're going to talk about the strange death of Tennessee Williams.
Ooh, yeah.
Something I did not know, and I figured it was something that I wouldn't know. I don't know why, maybe because I'm just always interested in strange things in general. And I was like, wow, this is a pretty interesting one. And but really sad before it gets there.
Yeah. I think like what we know about Tennessee Williams is like obviously accomplished writer and playwright, but I think there's also the Southern, like, you know, drinking, like the alcoholism, the kind of depression around that Southern Gothic tormented, you know, artist trope certainly works with his story. But beyond that, I don't know much about him or his death.
And you wonder, would the art be the same if it were not for that? It's really hard to say. Not that makes it better or worse, or I'm kind of judging that process, but you wonder, like, would the thing that we are celebrating the person for be the same if they didn't have that? And a lot of really sad and tormented people, publicly or privately, make great stuff and also bad stuff. And then people that have pretty chill existences also put out great stuff and also very boring stuff.
Totally. It's like a conversation I had a lot in art grad school, where it's like, can you separate the person from the art? And it's really difficult. It's really complicated. And you kind of get to draw the line.
You don't have to do that with us, because there is no art to separate.
Just our shitty personalities.
Yeah, can you separate our bad personalities for our less bad personalities?
I don't think you can.
You can. It's one in the same. Mm-mm. So there's the Tennessee Williams of the up till the mid-1950s, let's say, the late 1950s, where a lot of the plays and movie adaptations came from. And then once you hit the 1960s is where things kind of start to fall apart for him in the grand sense. His health was deteriorating, sleeping pills, excessive drinking, depression. You know, they all kind of sometimes go hand in hand.
Yeah, and I think also you think to remedy one thing, you know, you start using another. You know, obviously not with every case, but you're like, oh, I can't sleep. I'm going to take this pill and I can't wake up. You know, like I think it's the uppers and the downers in the cycle of that is really
And I always really find sad. That really, I don't use the word triggering very much, but anything to do with sleep issues is very triggering. And not that I can compare, but I know how the desperation that comes with that and how you feel, even though big picture, it, you know, could be no big deal, but the way you manifest things, depending on who you are, I feel a little bit of anxiety when I see that, but that kind of comes with the territory.
Sure.
Doing this. And all that really took its toll after the death of his partner of 14 years, Frank Merlot, in 1963. I think they had split up previously, like right before then, but they were still close. And then Frank Malo got sick, and then so they kind of connected again because they were mm-hmm. so close for so long. And then after he died, I mean, regardless if you're God. Together or not, I think it really took its toll. And plus, you know, being homosexual and especially in the 1960s, but really anytime, it's, you know, could be tough depending on who you are, what people expect from you. And I think Definitely. Now, you know, people might be a little less like, oh, a playwright that was, you know, a little bit eccentric. And that's not surprising, but, you know, it was a tough thing back then. It wasn't something a lot of people like wore on their sleeves. And it took, I mean, still, how far have we come, I always say. And I don't know what the answer to that is.
And also the subject of a lot of his work was really, heteronormative and romantic. And I think that must be really tough to write that from an alternative perspective, and probably, you know, I would find it tough, I think.
And there's a lot of, you know, machismo mm-hmm. from what I remember from, you know, especially like Streetcar Named Desire, mm-hmm. you know, really made Marlon Brando an iconic individual. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, reading The Glass Menagerie and how kind of sad that was. I was reading it in school and I was like, I don't fully get it the way I would get something now, but I always remember it being really sad.
Yeah, I mean, it is really sad. It's just like, choose your trauma, choose your ailment. Every character, it's just like the mom, the daughter, the caller. Like, you're just like, oh, this is just like a stew of depressing Southern has-beens.
And it's always kind of swimming in alcohol in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. Always fights, like fiery, heated fighting, and, you know, sometimes physical things generally. And just like what could have been. Like, I think there's a lot of like nostalgia and torment around making bad life decisions, which again, you know, if you're ascribing that to the playwright, like that is tough. That's really sad.
Also, it didn't help that his later plays, so I mean, going into the 1960s up until his death in the early 1980s, they were just not as successful. And that's tough. The only one I can think of is Night of the Iguana.
Yeah.
Which I think is made into a movie. Robert Mitchum, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But I know that was one of the bigger ones of his later, but that was 1961.
Yeah. I do remember that. I think I've seen that. But it's, again, it's like also, I mean, like most people, I think, especially most people who are really successful, like I would even say, you know, iconic people in their fields, and to just kind of not be as successful, you know, you think about like Lin-Manuel Miranda after Hamilton. Like, what do you do after Hamilton? Like, what do you – but that is something that plagues a lot of artists. But along with that, just the substance abuse issues, I'm sure, you know, we're not a fun part of that.
Let's take a quick break.
Okay.
And we're back.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
On February 25th, 1983, Tennessee Williams was found dead by his personal assistant, John Euchre. He was found on the floor of his suite at 60 East 54th Street, the Hotel Elise. Mm. Elise? I'm going to say Elise in Manhattan. That's also where he wrote his last play, In Masks, Outrageous and Austere, in 1982.
Mm.
I think it wasn't produced till way, way later. But that was his last play, and that's where he wrote it. The chief medical examiner, Dr. Elliot Gross, listed his cause of death as asphyxia. How? Mm. Great question. By accidentally inhaling the plastic cap from a bottle of nasal spray or eye solution.
No.
Something about it was in his mouth and he tipped his eye back and he swallowed it.
He was just doing too much. The man who did too much.
I think also some people claim that that's a way to do barbiturates. Like you put some in a cap. I don't know the mechanics of that. But that is the official cause of death. And that's how it happened.
Uh-huh.
But not everyone believes that to be true.
Okay.
That is the official way, and that is the strange way. And it's not really that bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like a tragic way when you're already kind of in an unraveling state.
Yeah.
Some people believe he died from an overdose of the sleep medication Senecal.
Mm.
Like I said, the official report, asphyxia.
Putting in a contact. And he had a cap in his mouth. Or he's leaning over.
It was either nasal spray.
Okay.
Which could be a bit addictive. I've used nasal spray.
Yeah.
More than once. Or eye drops, you know, like a Visine or something like that.
Okay. Oof.
However, according to newyork.cbslocal.com, when this happened, John Uecker, who was his companion and assistant, was still around. He told the New York City Medical Examiner, look, people are going to think it's suicide or AIDS or something bizarre, and we don't know what happened, Sadek said in the interview. So the medical examiner said, okay, he choked on a bottle cap, but really his body just gave up and the eventual diagnosis was intolerance.
Hmm.
I don't know, again, like, I don't know how somebody would want to compromise. I feel like the go-to wouldn't have to be, oh, it's AIDS, and this is 1983, so this is, you know, AIDS is really...
We're getting into the AIDS.
We're definitely getting in there, but I feel like it's not... I don't think it's necessarily the first thing that would come out of people's mouth. Overdose? Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
And maybe just, you know, natural causes by unnatural causes? Possibly. But there is a kind of a tug of war between how he actually died, but officially... is choking on a bottle cap. And I don't know why a medical examiner, I don't know if they just have a list of things just in case someone's like, hey, listen, we don't want people to think it's something that's going to leave a bad legacy.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, oh, I'll just do the old choking on a nasal spray or eye drop.
But don't cover. They have to like have it like in a little baggie at the corner's office? I mean, I get it. I've almost choked on many caps before, not drug-related, just me being an idiot-related. But I think it's got to be just, like, he was fucked up and, like, put this thing in his – and it was just, like, kind of lost it.
Where it's almost a combination of all the things that they're mentioning, I'm sure. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that he probably wasn't maybe sober or lucid at the time, regardless. But I don't know. I don't know why they're like, listen – people are going to think it's suicide. I mean, he was 71.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, if he was 31 or maybe even 51.
Yeah.
I don't think people would necessarily, 1983, be like 71. Had to be suicide or AIDS. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's
what I get from it. But again, the people know, you know, better than I what it might be. And I understand trying to cover up things. But I don't know how he's like, oh, listen – choking on a bottle cap, you know, some kind of Visine cap, which is very strange. Mm-hmm. Isn't necessarily, are people going to be like, that's a really odd way to go? I don't know if that makes it any better. If you're going to make something up, it's just like, oh, you know, died peacefully in his sleep because he's 71.
Yeah, exactly. Or you'd be like, yeah, his body, exhaustion.
Yeah.
Don't people use that all the time? Or like, exhaustion.
Yeah.
They were exhausted.
Prior health issues. So I don't know why there was such a strong need for this person to be like, quick. Say, put anything outrageous just so people don't think it was suicide or AIDS. Sorry, I'm saying AIDS so much, but it's like.
But no, I mean, 83, whatever, the early 80s, I think certainly, you know, if you were a gay man at that time, people catastrophized your life. And, you know, AIDS was this feared thing. People didn't understand it. People were ignorant around it. So I certainly get it, although. So it was his assistant, companion, Uecker,
I guess so, yeah, I guess they were.
Romantic? Yeah. I mean, that makes sense to me, where he's just like, whatever, anything, like, just get this out of the press, like, let's, like, make this, you know, as small as we can make it.
And I don't know how New York, the chief medical examiners, mm-hmm. again, you know, do people lie? Yes, all the time, I'm sure I'm not, like, ignorant to that fact, but is he going to be like, hey, can you just lie at your job? And he's mm-hmm. gonna be like, yeah, okay. And I understand he is a celebrity and I don't know the relationships, but I just wonder like how factual any of this is.
Or, you know, like with any truth, it's like there are multiple things that go in it. There are different perspectives. People can die. Like, I assume what this really is from multiple things, like all these things kind of came to a head, but like really it was this cap. And I think it's really hard for people too to think about this, you know, legendary artist
being someone we all kind of, you know, with part of the reading curriculum at school.
Totally being bested by a cap. You know, I think that feels unsatisfying because it's not the whole truth. It's part of the truth maybe, but I don't think it's the whole truth. So, you know, it's not a great way to give anybody closure, I don't think.
There's, you know, what we heard previously is interview with Dick Cavett, just really interesting. He kind of just mentions, you know, cemeteries and such, and kind of seems to have a somewhat fascination with death, as, you know, a lot of artists are. And, you know, you think about those things. So
we never think about those things.
No, just always kind of like, hey, do you need wealth management? we need five boss babes.
Exactly.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.